Len, it's been a busy week in golf, and it's been highlighted by the postponement of the 2020 Ryder Cup and also the pushback on the 2021 President's Cup. It got to a point, I think it was one of the worst kept secrets in golf. Everybody sort of knew this delay was coming, but at least finally they made it official.
Yeah, and you know what's the right decision? I mean, the Ryder Cup without some of these tournaments, really, they missed the crowds, but the Ryder Cup had to have them. I mean, a Ryder Cup without fans would not be a Ryder Cup. So, you know, it's too bad. It's a while off. I really thought that for quite a while that this was going to, you know, be a real highlight of the whole sports season, not just the golf season. But no, if there's a feeling there that having fans at all would be a health risk, by all means, they shouldn't hold a Ryder Cup, because there'd be a lot of fans there and a lot of interest overall. I'm sure they must they know a lot more about this stuff than I do. I think the experts made the right call.
People should remember that the Ryder Cup for years was played on the odd year for many, many years. And then, of course, it was delayed because of the 9/11 attacks back in 2001. And then it was pushed into the even years. So as a result, it's almost back on schedule, so to speak. And if there is one really nice little touch to next year's Ryder Cup, and no knock on current PGA of America President Susie Whaley, I think she's done a wonderful job. But by then, next year, Jim Richardson, the former vice president of golf at Kohler, will actually be the president of the PGA of America and will get to welcome the Ryder Cup back to his former place of employment. And I know if there was one thing that was maybe just a little disappointing for Jim's upcoming presidency was that he was going to take office just a couple of weeks after the Ryder Cup was over as president. And I think it would have been great to have him be the president when the Ryder Cup comes to Kohler, because he really helped build up the golf there for so many years. And now he will get a chance to do that. And I'm just thrilled for Jim Richardson.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, from that standpoint, it almost seems like it was meant to be. It definitely have been the time Jim should be in charge when the Ryder Cup is in his home state. Reminiscent for me of when Roger Warren was involved with big events at Medina. And Roger had, of course, been a successful club pro at Village Links at Glen Ellen and Seven Bridges here. Goes way back, but a thrill for the man, and I think it better for the event overall to have a local, a prominent local person involved in the staging of the event.
As we sit here and talk about things that are canceled and postponed and all of that, and, you know, as a matter of fact, today should have been round one of the John Deere Classic. And obviously it was pretty disappointing that that championship had to get canceled. But, you know, when you look at it, it's supposed to be 94, 95 degrees there today in the next few days. No end in sight to the heat. Defending champion Dylan Fratelli was a possible casualty because he tested positive for COVID. But based on some new results and the way the PGA Tour is handling these cases, it appears that Fratelli is actually playing this week, but has been paired with two other players that have had positive tests. So that'll be interesting. An entire group that will all have tested positive within the last few weeks, and they'll be playing together this week at the new tournament at Muirfield.
Yeah, the Workday tournament. That was an interesting pairing. I mean, there are all kinds of ways the PGA, all the golf groups, pair players to create some interesting scenarios, but nothing more than that, like this one. Three guys who have tested positive for the virus, and they're using new medical information to allow for this pairing. And they certainly have recovered, by the standards, medical standards set. The three of them, Dylan especially, has recovered. They all felt fine. They've recovered. They're, by the standards that exist, they're certainly eligible and qualified to play. So I wish them nothing but the best. This is a crazy world we live in, but that's the craziest, is that we pair the three of them together. But it'd be better than doing it that way than spreading them out around the field.
Len, the Western Amateur is one event that, as of now, is still going to get played, and I don't see that changing at all. And kudos to the WGA, because it looks like four of the six tournaments that the WGA and WW, Women's Western Golf Association, operate are going to get played. And The way things looked a couple months ago, if you can still get four of your six events in this year, that's a pretty good record. And this week, we got some news about the field, and there is four of the top nine rated amateurs in the world in the field. There's still 30 players as of now that are coming from international countries. And defending champion and current NHL referee Garrett Rank is back in the field to defend his title at Crooked Stick.
Yeah, I tell you, it looks like a wonderful field. Ricky Castillo, number two in the world rankings, I believe. I believe he's still the top-ranked player coming. The thing that surprises me about that field announcement is that there are only two players from Illinois among the starters, and the Western Golf Association, of course, is Chicago-based, and there's only one Indiana player, and, of course, the tournament's being played at Crooked Stick in Indiana. There isn't that element of in the field either. The hometown feel is lacking there. But 30 players internationally, given the climate of the world right now, that's stunning.
Well, you do have to wonder if those players are living abroad right now, how travel restrictions could affect them. Of course, I'm sure some of them still might be just listing their native country as their hometown, but might be playing collegiate golf here in the States and may have never left and gone home when the pandemic started. So that'll be interesting to see. And you're right, if there's been one minor flaw with the Western Amateur, is over the last few years, we really haven't seen some of the really good local players that you would have expected to be in the field, because there has been a commitment in the last couple of years. There's been over 40 international players, and you would think that it would be good to find a few more spots for some of the top local amateurs here, but that hasn't been the case. When we're down at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando every January and we recap the show, we talk about the new equipment, what everybody's debuting, and more often than not, in the middle of summer, we're not always talking about new equipment because it's either been on the market now for several months or it's still 3 or 4 months from being launched in advance of the holiday season. But I've just learned about a fantastic new product called Lab Golf Putters, and they've actually been on the market very quietly for a couple of years and then had a slow stretch, almost ended up closing their doors. But the company seems to be revitalized now under new CEO Sam Hahn, who grew up in Highland Park. And this company is starting to take off. It's starting to get some notoriety on the mini tours. And I am told that some of the regular PGA Tour stars are starting to inquire about it. Now, it's kind of a funky-looking putter, but nonetheless, it seems to be helping people drain putts. People that have struggled with putting that have a good tee-to-green game are using this and shaving strokes off their handicap like crazy. And it will be amazing to see if some of these mini-tour players continue to have success with it, and if a couple of the PGA Tour stars start playing with it, or Champions Tour players start using it, or Korn Ferry players start using it, how fast this could spread, because it does seem to have a couple of different tweaks to it that you don't find in some of the other name putters from some of the big companies.
It certainly has been kind of coming on at a strange time of the year, but it's a strange year. Nothing like new putters. I always feel like there's nothing like a new putter, number one, or a new driver, number two, to really perk up interest in golf equipment. Maybe a new golf ball as well that goes further. But this one is beating all the records of the past. I can't, you know, I haven't seen it. I've just been reading about it, and I really want to see it. This intrigues me. Of course, I'm a guy who trades drivers way too frequently, but sticks with one putter. My old Scotty Cameron has been in my bag for going on close to 10 years now, I think. This is one that it certainly bears looking at, no question about it.
Well, Len, I'm excited to welcome Sam Hahn, the CEO of the company, to Golfers on Golf Radio this Saturday at 10:10 in the morning, Chicago time, 11:10 for those out on the East Coast or in the Port St. Lucie Village area. It should be interesting to hear about a new product. And they are in the PGA Tour stores, Vernon Hills and Downers Grove here in the Chicagoland area. Schaumburg did not have any when I stopped there today to take a look at one. So maybe we'll see one tomorrow at Vernon Hills. In the meantime, you know, you and I have spoke the last couple of weeks about the Illinois PGA section events getting back on track. And the first one was held this past Monday. And I don't think there was a playoff. There was at least a tie for first place. We had a couple players at four under par. And the co-winners, we'll call them, Michael Schachner, who grew up playing high school golf in Libertyville, went on to play at Duke University, still holds the record for the lowest round in the NCAA National Championships for golf with a round of 60 at the Horseshoe Golf Course and Resort out on the East Coast, not Horseshoe Bay in Texas, but Williamsburg, Virginia, I believe. And he was playing in a IPGA event and as now the assistant coach at DePaul University. And we've seen one college golf coach really excel in the Illinois PGA section events in the Illinois Open, and that's been Mike Small. So Michael Schachner now is a college golf coach and part of the Illinois PGA section, and it'll be interesting to see if we can have another college golf coach make a run at some of these titles and majors in the Illinois PGA section.
We're working for a guy who was a proven player, Marty Sheen. Of course, Marty was three-time Illinois Open champion. He won the longest playoff in the history of that tournament, at any rate. And Marty just became the head coach there, I believe, last year. He's been around as a college coach in various colleges. He's been at Chicago State. I think he had both men's and women's jobs there at one point. And Michael, I would think he'd be a real good college coach. He's young enough to still certainly identify with the players. And I think we'll still see him playing because I would think that he played the tour. He gave the tours certainly a long enough shot. But I think that there's some playing talent still there, and he's going to want to be jumping into tournaments somewhat. You know, Mike Small, he had lost his card on the web.com tour, nationwide tour, I think it was called then. He turned to college coaching, and his game all of a sudden exploded, and he did well in PGA Tour events. PGA of America events. I hope that happens with Michael because I think the playing talent is still there, but I think that he'll turn into being a real good college coach down the road.
Well, he's the type of player that could excel at the Illinois PGA Section Championship, earn himself a spot in the National Club Professional Championship, and of course, you know, the top 20 players there are making it into the PGA, so who knows? Maybe that will be on his calendar at someday in the future. Speaking of the future, we're wondering about the future at Cog Hill. And the World Long Drive was supposed to be coming this year with its national championships to Cog Hill. Cog Hill just releasing the Cog Hill Long Drive Pale Ale, which looks really good and tasty. I know you and I need to get down there and maybe pour one of those down along with a Dubs Burger. But that whole tour seems to have folded its season. And the general manager at Cog Hill, Troy Newport, tells me the folks at Cog Hill are hoping that that event will come back to Cog Hill in 2021. But as of right now, it sounds like the World Long Drive, there's a lot of questions about that tour and what its future is.
Yeah, you know, the World Long Drive is owned by Golf Channel. And it was an interesting announcement that they made. They only did it on their website, but there were five or six qualifiers around the country for that event. All of them were canceled. But the final at Cog Hill, what was to be the final in early September at Cog Hill, was listed as suspended. So I think that I hope they want to keep the Long Drive Championship going, number one. And I hope that when it does return, Cog Hill is the host for it because, you know, it's a funny thing there. For 20 years, Cog Hill was the site of a regular PGA Tour event, be it the Western Open or the BMW Championship, right up until 2011. It's an excellent site for a big event. It has all the kind of space around it. 72 holes are right there. It's been a mecca for golfers in Chicago for years and years and years, thanks to the wonderful efforts of the Jemsek family. The big event has been lacking since 2011, and this was to be the return. And it's sad that it's happened the way it's happened, but hopefully it'll all work out for both Coghill and the Gem Six. I'd like to see an event, be it the long drive or not. I think the long drive is a lot of fun. I think it timing of the year is excellent. I hope it is eventually held, and I wish nothing but the best for the Coghill and the Gem Six.
As one renovation wraps and crawls to a close after years and years of work, another one is now underway. And Len, it was nice to tour the final nine holes. It's expected to open August 1st at the Schaumburg Golf Club today. The nine holes look in really good shape. I think they could go out there and mow those greens tonight and have people tee it up on them tomorrow. And I know it's been a long run of years, maybe 5 to 6 years between planning, work in the clubhouse, and then 3 years now of doing work outside on the three different nines at Schaumburg. That being said, we're seeing 27 holes being torn up in Northbrook over at Sportsman's. And I had a chance to walk around the property a little bit yesterday. The longtime old clubhouse has been demolished. It's gone. The cart barn is gone. And out there, the golf holes are torn up. And there's a lot of work going on the area that was the driving range. And it looks like now it might remain the driving range, even though they had thought about trying to move it further away from Dundee Road. But a lot of work going on out there all over the golf course yesterday, things being dug up, and it appears that Sportsman's, in spite of the early start this year, they may not even be open till 22. We'll have to see how that goes. Maybe they can get a little limited play in next fall in 21.
Well, you know, that's interesting that the two, both 27-hole facilities, both were there a long time. They both were very much in need of a facelift and a renovation. Schaumburg did theirs piecemeal and went on forever. This one over at Sportsman's is, they're tackling it all at once. Kind of interesting. In the case of Sportsman's, I think we're going to get a whole completely different facility. And I wonder if it'll even keep the name of Sportsman's, because it can't. When they're knocking the clubhouse down, the driving range, all the courses, redoing everything, I laud them on the effort, but taking it all on like that, because it's been a long time coming too, but this is going to be a completely different place when it's finished. And I'm excited to see what it turns out to be.
Len, both of us try to do the best we can and hit the road once in a while and do some golf travel. Any news coming from Florida or down your direction in the world of traveling to destination golf properties?
I was planning. I know what's going to happen here. I had a very nice invite to play in Lake Tahoe in August, the 6-day fam trip there, and I guess it's still going to go on. It's been kind of lingering. They're playing a celebrity event there this weekend, and that was going to be my next big trip out. It's been really a quiet year. I did a 9-day trip in the Carolinas in June. The trip to Lake Tahoe, there's a lot of goes into planning trips like that. You got to have stops along the way to make it all fun and worthwhile. But it's a funny thing, golf travel, the resorts are starting to open up and play more from what I'm hearing, the exception being Century World, which the Wisconsin resort, which I gather might not open up even until September. They're having a lot of different issues over there. I'm anxious to get on the road. I know that a lot of the places golf is being played. It's being played just like it would any place else. There may be there's travel difficulties getting to a lot of them. You have to adjust to lodging and dining options in the places you're going to. But travel golf is always going to be a lot of fun for me, and I'm looking forward to the next trip I make.
Well, Len, the final topic before we call it a week is whether or not fans are going to be traveling down to Olympia Fields at the end of August next month. And being able to see the BMW Championship, there was some surprising news this week about how these tournaments at Muirfield Village in Ohio were going to have 8,000 fans, and then all of a sudden overnight, they're not having any fans. So with that in mind, the hope, I would think, a couple weeks ago was that, hey, people thought, maybe the WGA thought, maybe the tour thought, if they could get 8,000 into Muirfield, that 6-7 weeks later, they could get 10,000 a day into Olympia Fields. But now that that number is zero, you have to wonder what it might be. Can they get back to 4,000 or 5,000 by the end of August? Might it be less? Might it be 2,500? Will the numbers from the virus drop to a point that they get 10,000? It's hard to say, but I have to believe that they'll get some fans in by the end of August. But I'm not as excited about seeing 10,000 fans every day on the golf course as I was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I was really surprised. The announcement regarding the memorial, now Tiger is going to play there. He's announced that that's going to be Tiger Woods announced that that's where he's going to make his return for the season. And even though that announcement was made after the decision not to have spectators there, these are basically TV shows right now. I think it's great. I do, that golf is playing. Sooner or later, the crowds have got to be back. I don't know whether it's going to happen this year. I'm trying to think of where the logical place would be. I would think that it could well be the it could well start with the FedEx Cup playoffs. BMW is, of course, the second of those events. That'd be a logical place. Maybe they wait to the Masters or the U.S. Open or whatever. The PGA already has said there will not be spectators at Harding Park. Sooner or later, the bubble has got to pop, and we're going to have fans there. I just don't know when to guess that time is going to come.
Well, then, my final thoughts here. There was a little bit of a press conference after the Ryder Cup announcement yesterday, and there was some hosts from the Golf Channel. Mark Rolfing was part of the group, and you really wanted to learn what went into the decision of moving the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup back. And unfortunately, the conversation quickly degenerated into whether or not a delay of 1 year gave Tiger Woods a better chance to be on the team, the Ryder Cup team, next year as a player instead of just helping Steve Stricker out as an assistant captain. And right about now, that's the last thing we should worry about. Right. As a matter of fact, you know, his record is so poor in the Ryder Cup, I really wouldn't worry about whether or not he's on the team at this point. And right. You know what? Davis Love, the third, made a suggestion about 2 weeks ago that instead of worrying about how many captains picks and all this other stuff, since there's all these different changes going on, and he said especially if the Ryder Cup got pushed back, you got 2 years, maybe 3 years now between Ryder Cups to let players establish themselves in terms of points. And he said, why don't we just take the top 12 guys with the most points, done. And you know what? I think there's some good logic in what Davis Love had to say.
I agree with you. I agree with this stuff about focusing on Tiger, thinking that he's the answer to making the Ryder Cup more popular. That's ridiculous. They don't have to have a Tiger Woods there to have a good Ryder Cup, a great Ryder Cup. I always thought it might not be a bad idea to go by 12 players. And if one of them doesn't make it or can't make it or isn't playing well at the last minute, let the captain make his wild card picks at that time. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, every player's got to earn his way onto the team. And I think it'd be a boost for the Ryder Cup to do that. It'd be the 12 best players from the U.S. and Europe and let them play. But whether Tiger Woods is playing good or playing bad really shouldn't have any bearing on the success of any Ryder Cup.
Well, that's one event that's going to sell out regardless, and it's going to have big TV numbers regardless of who's on the team. And, of course, the one thing that the European players talk about all the time is every time somebody beats Tiger Woods at the Ryder Cup on their side, which happens frequently, it's a big adrenaline boost for the European team. If the U.S. is going to start winning Ryder Cups again, they got to look at ways to take down Europe and stop the momentum before it gets out of control. And letting Europe beat up on Tiger Woods at the Ryder Cup every other year, it might be one way to do it. Len, volume 17 here in the books, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.